Before we open God's word, let us unite our hearts in prayer. Our gracious and merciful Father in heaven, we come before thee again in this afternoon hour, thankful for the opportunity to gather and thankful that thy word is enduring. Though we are like grass and the flower of the field, fading quickly, thy word and thy truth endures forever. And so help us, dear Father, to firmly place our faith and our love, our expectation and our hopes upon thee and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom we look to for all of our help, for thy blessing upon us in this afternoon hour, and for thy help in the days to come, should thou tarry. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. With the Lord's help for this afternoon's meditation, let's turn together to the book of Isaiah. I'd like to read a few verses with the Lord's help from chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to the end.
Nađeno je iz proroka Isaije 40. glava od 28. broja do kraja. 40. glava iz Isaije, 28. broj do kraja.
Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Even as we have all prayed together, that the scripture contains a bounty for us to receive of. And this scripture teaches us of God himself. And it describes him as one who is everlasting, one who has no limit to his strength, and there's no searching out of his understanding. Is not this a bounty? To behold the Lord, to look into the Word and learn about God, a God who mankind's measurement techniques can never fathom. He's beyond our comprehension. And yet, he has expressed a message contained in his Word so that we can find out about him, that we can know about our Creator and in his love and concern for us, reveal a way that we can have fellowship with him, which as a small created being is an awesome thought. To be at one with God, who is everlasting. There's no end of his strength. There's no searching out of his understanding. And yet, he has pity for his creation. And he is willing to give power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. This is a message to one and all who observe the frailty of our own minds and our own abilities and confess before the Lord, we do not have the strength to endure. We do not have the might to overcome and to earn and deserve. And we come before him with a contrite heart and in humility and seek for his blessing and ask of him that he would provide what we're needing. The Lord has a promise for the people of Judah that Isaiah is delivering this prophecy unto. This last verse says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." These are beautiful words and precious promises to all who would seek to follow them. And yet they come at a time in Judah's history where God is explaining to them that the kingdom of Babylon is about to come and will completely overthrow their nation and lead them into captivity. God's hand of chastisement, of correction, and of judgment was about to be unleashed upon these people. And in the turmoil of that experience, with the physical eyes that they would behold the pain and the suffering upon children and women and all of their men, they would be tempted to despair of hope in God. God speaks this prophecy to warn them, to let them know that he will not utterly cast off his people, but he would provide a fulfillment of the promise that he gave to Abraham, that all nations of the earth through him should be blessed. And we know that Jesus came, and those promises were fulfilled. But at the time of this judgment, they don't see that. At the time of anguish and test and trial, we don't see with these physical eyes the hope that should endure. And so the Lord gives them this prophecy to let them know that the Lord will not utterly forsake his people. He will preserve a remnant, but there would be a remnant that would be preserved in cooperation with him. He warns the people of Judah not to despair of hope in God and then start turning to idols because they're useless, they're dead. And as we were reminded this morning, we have a God who is alive. Yet he does not portray himself often in ways that our physical senses can tell. And so he calls his people to look to him in faith. This is the message of the Lord throughout the history of the children of Israel, from Abraham and even to today. And the message is relevant for the people of Judah at the time, who are going to experience great hardship and judgment. And it's relevant for us today, who, as we even heard this morning, have committed ourselves unto the Lord as a faithful creator and seek to follow him in ways of righteousness, there will be trials. And the help of men and the resources that we have will be withdrawn. And where will we go? Where could we go but to the Lord? Even the strength of our youth and our abilities and the potential that is there, that fades away too. But we are taught here, even as we prayed, about the mature believer that waits upon his Lord. He has promised that the Lord will renew his strength. And this was a command in the Old Testament, and it's also a command in the New. We read in Luke chapter 12, verse 35, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." The command to wait and to watch for the Lord is one that's given to the believers. And the time of that Jesus is speaking is when the Lord returns from the wedding. Will that not be a time of great tribulation, such as never has been seen upon the earth? In that time, God's church must be waiting and watching. We must be heeding the warning and the call to shine as these lights and to take notice of the word that even went before and see what example does it teach for us. We should wait upon the Lord that we may renew our strength. We are to patiently trust that God will provide. Actually, God has provided. And he has promised that he has provided all things that pertain to life and to godliness. And so the believer has hope and confidence that the Lord gives us, and we have as a possession, all good things that are necessary for our life, for our spiritual life. And we are to wait upon the Lord. We are to trust upon him that he will provide for us day by day whatever we're needing. This is faith in action. And this is a path of growth. The New Testament teaches us that patience, when we're exercised in patience, it brings forth a peaceable fruit of righteousness. What happens if I turn away from God at the time of trial and turn to my own resources? Or if I become afraid? And trust in myself. Do I miss out on pleasing the Lord and yielding to him the peaceable fruit of righteousness? We're to be exercised by this, beloved, in our waiting upon the Lord, in our trusting for him to provide, in our watching the Lord, in our observing. We observe the word, and we learn what pleases God. And because we love the Lord, we want to do what pleases God. Just as there are restaurants where the people that work there, they're trained very well. And they know that they are to attend upon every need of the people that come in. How do we watch the Lord? To see what is pleasing to Him. That our next step would be guided by the needs that He reveals in His kingdom as we sit and watch and sit at His feet for learning. The Lord waits. The Lord Jesus was walking upon the sea in a storm towards the disciples. And the disciples looked out. And we, when turmoil and stress and anxiety would seek to rock our life and our ship of faith, as it were, does not the Lord so close, walking near? There may be times when the Lord is waiting and we are wondering, how can I serve? At those times, the Lord is waiting with a towel and a basin of water, and He invites us to learn of Him how to wash one another's feet, how to be that lowliest servant. There are many ways that we can wait upon the Lord. And we, as we contemplate and consider, what is it that the Lord wants me to do in my waiting? It's very clear that the Lord does not purpose for us to sit upon our hands and wait for God to give me good things or things that please me. And that's how I wait. I just wait for God to give me stuff. No. We're looking. We're observing. We want to be directed by Him and guided by Him. And He will guide us with His eye. And as we think, as we ponder, as we allow the Holy Spirit to take the words and bring them to our attention, what we need to do, He will teach us what area of life we need to wait upon Him to seek His guidance. And when we do, it says, we will renew our strength. This is a prayer and a desire of every mature believer. And we read, this was a desire of the Apostle Paul for the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 1, where he says he never stopped praying for the church. He had this yearning and desire that the Lord, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. This is the beginning of waiting upon the Lord. Seeking Him out to know Him. Are we convinced that his capabilities are without limit and that His knowledge is past our understanding? And do we stand in awe of Him as He reveals Himself to us when we seek that intimate and close connection with Him? This is first. And then the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance of the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. This is the strength of the Spirit of God. God working in us. And to those who believe and yield our will and surrender unto the Lord, He shows us where to find our strength. We find our strength in His grace. It says here that they shall mount up with wings as eagles. If you picture an eagle standing at the side of a cliff, about to leap forth and entrust himself into the to the air and the design that his maker has given him, that he would not plummet to the ground. So too, the child of God is entrusting himself not to his capability of being able to crawl on his two little feet, but upon the grace of God to uplift, to help in time of need. And we can see that eagle as he soars. He is being upheld. He is being lifted higher and higher as he soars. This is what the grace of God will do. As the Lord teaches us about himself and where our affections are to lie, we read in the New Testament that our affections should be above. This is where the eagle is soaring. Our hearts must also be turning away from the deceitfulness of riches, from the approach to life that is pervasive in the world, and follow the Word of God, and follow Jesus Christ, who despised all riches, turned away from them. You remember in a letter that Paul wrote to Titus, he speaks of the grace of God and illustrates for us how it is that the grace of God can lift us, can support us, can make us like that eagle that soars. We read in Titus chapter 2, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." There's a grace of God that's been revealed. And as we yield ourselves to his grace, to his sustaining power, we learn. And so this grace is active and it's teaching us. It says, teaching us. Speaking of God's grace, it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. There it is, again, the theme of waiting, of our blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The believer who is waiting is trusting upon the grace of our Lord and his sustaining power. And the grace that he receives teaches him to forsake this world. And we rise. We rise above the cares, the concerns, and the wars, and the tumult, trusting in the Lord as we shine as this eagle. It's a beautiful picture of the Lord's desire for us to excel, to grow and to make progress in God's kingdom as the eagle entrusts himself to God's plan. The next thing he says is, "They shall run and not be weary." This life certainly does have a way of making us weary. And each of us, actually every human, believer and unbeliever, our lives are described like a race that is to be run. How is it that the believer's life can be run in a way such that we do not become weary, that we do not faint by the way, but that he helps us, that the Lord helps us to cross that finish line, that we might obtain the prize, that crown of eternal life? We read about that race in Hebrews chapter 12. The writer says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There are two things that are described in this picture of running a race, and one is of preparation. The preparation for the race is to put aside sin and every weight that doth so easily beset us. And obviously we want to put away sin, but the writer goes even farther and says, every weight that doth so easily beset us. The things that do not edify, for example, that the things that do not make for encouraging and nurturing a humble heart and a simplicity of life. Put those things aside. You know, sin obviously brings about weights that make us weary. There's one on one hand is guilt. There's another on the other hand is regret and shame. How can we run this race carrying these burdens? Jesus offers for us salvation and deliverance from these burdens. And he says, take my yoke upon you. Run my race. Follow me. And we can find salvation and relief for our souls that are in this flesh and before Christ. We're so burdened by the guilt of sin and needing to be relieved and not finding it within ourselves. It's only in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's our preparation for this race that's described here. And then also, the runner, he's running with patience, but he has the mark in front of him. He knows where he's going. He knows who he's following. He is following Jesus Christ. And this will be evident in our following of the Lord. Whom do we serve? Who do we follow? Jesus Christ is the one, the only one who is the standard for us. There are sometimes temptations to compare neighbor to neighbor, but before God, it only matters that we are serving him and that we are pursuing him. Apostle Paul writes of the race to the Corinthians as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he helps us on this race, and he teaches us about the race. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? And then he encourages, so run that ye may obtain. Run in a way that you win. The one that wins is running in a strong pursuit with diligence. He goes on to say, and every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Self-control. That's something you don't hear a lot about in the world. But as we read the Word of God, we do find time and time again this exhortation to soberness and temperance, that we would not go in the excesses of pleasure and the goal that the world seeks after, enjoying this life, but that we would refrain from those things, be temperate in all things is what that means. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, those who might run in the races of the Olympics or the competitions of the day, but we, an incorruptible. And so Paul, upon reflecting upon this, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for Paul? He says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I want to make it absolutely certain that I am following Jesus Christ. And the only way that I can do that is by being in his word and allowing it to transform my life. By loving the Lord and willingly letting him direct and make me to what he wants me to be. Just like we read this morning, God gives the resurrected body a body as it pleases him. Have we received that life from the dead? Yes. Now let us allow God, by his grace, to make our lives and our body as it pleases him. Maybe very well prepared to help someone in need through the trials that we face. Finally, the prophet says, they shall walk and not faint. Our life is like a walk. I will not faint if I'm walking with Jesus. Do we walk close together in the garden in prayer? Am I looking at him in the race? Am I looking up to him as I soar? Am I walking close to him, even walking in his steps? There is great joy. There is great joy in the host of heaven when one sinner repents and no longer desires to sit in the seat of the scornful or stand in the way of sinners and walk in their way. And it blesses the hearts of God's children when we see our loved ones coming alongside and walking and learning of our Savior. This is how I believe there's so many more verses that we could read and be strengthened and encouraged by. But in the end, the exhortation is to seek the Lord, to wait upon him, to be looking for him, how he will be guiding us. And as we draw closer to him and love his presence, there is the fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Just read of a writing in the Psalms. A desire for one and all of us. Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. May the Lord's ways be our love and lighten every burden, every trial. That we would see that it is his goodness and his will and in some way, his preparation for us to be of service to him and call others to join. May God bless his word. Amen.